live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for the ear of the hearer. And I ask that our ears will perk up and hear what the Spirit is trying to say to us this morning. No more, no less, Father God. I come against distractions right now in the name of Jesus. I come against them. And I just pray you have your will, your way done in this place, Father God. We thank you for it right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, there we go. Okay, so we were having a staff meeting one day here at the church, and we don't meet in this room. Not normally, we meet over here in the Family Life Center. And while we were talking, I always make certain to perk my ears up and to hear what's being said, because seriously, everyone in there shares such good information. It's not just pastor standing up front and telling us things, which he does tell us some things, but also we share. And so we hear powerful words from all of us. There's a great time that we have. This one particular staff meeting we were in, I was sitting next to Ivy, and we were sharing some things, and I can't even remember what brought it about, but Ivy started to share some things from her perspective. As she said, I wake up, talking about our children, she said, I wake up my healing every morning. And she's continuing on. But as she said that, when God gives me a nugget, and I think we all know what a nugget is. Do we know what a nugget is? It's that a rich revelation, a rhema moment. And it's a truth that he illuminates for that time, that point in time, and it just becomes real to you, and he starts dealing with you. You don't even have the full picture. Well, that's what happened to me. I don't know how it happens for you when you get a nugget, but what happened is Ivy said that, and everybody else in the room was still talking, and Ivy was talking, but I was in a zone, and it was as if everything else went slow motion, and I was like buzzing. And I'm hearing God illuminate that phrase, I wake up my healing every morning. And so he started dealing with me. And that's the title of this message. So as Ivy was sharing that, of course, she was talking about our children. And I won't go into too much detail, but at the time when our son Seth came into our lives, I had just lost my father, June 2nd of 2004. Seth was born June 24th of 2004, and we did not meet Seth until 4 months later, but he was born. I had another minister say that my dad, and I don't give it a lot of weight as if it really happened, but it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. But another minister said, man, your dad, when he left, he was going up and Seth was coming down and they gave a high five. Now, of course, I know that didn't really happen, but, you know, in some way, I hear that at a very tough time, dealing with some, you know, fertility issues, but all, at the same time, having lost my father, and I was just jacked up, and we were jacked up, amen. But for God to deliver an answer in the same month that I lost my covering was amazing. And so I always refer to Seth as he came at a time where we really need a healing. Jaden is another she served another purpose. And I know it might sound weird to speak of your children as if they have different purposes in your life. We love them equally, and they do, the way we love them is equal, but what they signify as far as when they came into our lives, it has different meanings, okay? So that when she made that comment, that's really what she was speaking to. But God blew that thing up for me. And so I want to share something with you. If you look in Luke 19. Luke 19, 13. And I'll try to give you the essence of what this message is. What your takeaway from everything I say, your takeaway should be this. If we are going to successfully occupy the land that God has given us, we have to learn to change our perspective to see from God's view. And we can't do it on a one-time basis. It must be every morning. That's the only way we will win and accomplish what God wants us to do, is by taking on his view daily, his perspective daily. Amen? All right. So let's look here in Luke 19, 13. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. The New King James Version says, do business until I come. Okay? Now, I want to focus on here the fact that we all know, and we've gone through this time and time again, that we heard it over and over, I've been called. I've been called. But see, God called servants. So that jumped off the page first when I was reading. That he called, and this was kind of like giving a story and saying, God called his servants. He identified them as servants. And it could say God called his people. God called me. That doesn't clearly define who he's calling. But here it says God called servants. And that jumped off to me. And I was reminded that a lot of times servant, people with a servant type of heart, they don't just clock time. They don't just look at a job description, let's say. They don't just look at a job description and say, okay, I'm supposed to do task A, B, and C. And anything beyond that, somebody else can get it. A servant seeks to serve. Now, I tell you what, I prepared for this message, and it's amazing how God speaks to me, but I'm going to tell you something. He spoke to me again as I was getting ready this morning, I was getting dressed. As I was hearing this, God also spoke to me again. Charles Stanley was on this morning. He said something that I liked. I don't know if you heard that this morning. Charles Stanley said, it was funny, he's talking about servants. He said, a servant looks for opportunities, amen, where others just seek to fulfill a responsibility. I said, oh my goodness, that is good. I'm going to use that. Thank you, Charles Stanley. He said that a servant seeks to fulfill opportunities where all the others will just do their responsibility. Tell me what I'm supposed to do when it's 4 o'clock or when it's 5 o'clock, whenever I'm off, I'm off. Don't call me. Don't bother me after time. I've done my piece. I actually looked at Randy because I'm going to share something. I was thinking about this, and I don't want to embarrass you and the other guys. But yesterday, we were going to Columbus. And these guys kind of teased me because I didn't get my cup of coffee in time. See, if I keep telling these type of stories in between what I want to get to, I'm going to stretch this thing out too long. But anyway, there was about 8 of us, and we were going to Columbus. And we were going to go to, we were on our way to Schmidt's. We were going to eat some sausages, right? And, of course, the wives, nobody wanted to go. They were like, anyway. So on our way, I had to get some coffee because I didn't have coffee yet. So I pulled over. And I asked the guys, please, can we go through McDonald's? So we did. I felt bad because it was packed and it was taking a long time. But while we were there, Randy And some of the other guys, was it Todd and Billy, they had got out and helped this man move his camper, or his RV, off of the highway. It was in the middle of the highway. When I got in the car, Jim, I was apologizing. Guys, I'm sorry. I know I'm taking up too much time. You know, it was really packed. And Jim says, brother, don't worry about it. It was probably a God opportunity because they wouldn't have been able to help the man in the street. He said, other people just kept driving by him. You don't know, but that stuck in my ear. You said, other people kept driving by him. And I said, but we don't have other people. We don't have other people. We've got servants on board. And the servant heart in my brothers caused them to go beyond what was their duty. It wasn't in their job description. It wasn't something they'd been tasked to do. But they're servants, and they saw an opportunity to help someone. Amen? So here God is. He's seeking, and he calls 10 servants. Those who will go above and beyond. And he gave them 3 months' worth of income. He gave them 3 months worth of income. We could try to parallel this story with the story of the talents, where the guys were given different portions and told to go and do business. I won't go there, but keep that in mind. Here, he's calling individuals who are servants. He gives them something of his own. He gives it to them. It's income. And he says, occupy until I return. If you, I'll give you an example. I just mentioned the other story. The man who was given the one talent, he was being responsible. Because he knew he had that one talent, and he wanted to maintain one talent. He knew the type of man who was coming back. So he dug it up the ground, put it in the earth, hid it, so he at least could say, I did what I was required to do. I did not lose. Sometimes we're so careful trying not to lose, we don't gain. But God wanted them to do business. Doing business and occupying, some people think occupying is just holding a space. No. You're looking for opportunities to expand the kingdom. And that's what he was doing here. He gave them 3 months worth. Three is the number of establishment, by the way. Right? Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Three times. Three times he gave him a chance to establish, you do love me, Peter. Yes, I know you screwed up. I know you fell. I know you messed up things. I hope it doesn't confuse people with me jumping around like that. I'm using other stories to bring back into this situation, okay? So that situation where Peter denied Jesus, okay? And then Peter was out fishing and just doing his own thing. And then God had to speak to Peter and give him a chance to redeem himself. He had to establish, Peter, you are mine. He did it three times. So here, this God is giving these servants 3 months' worth of income for the purpose of establishing his kingdom. In that amount of time and that amount of income, they should be able to establish his kingdom. And he said, occupy until I return. The Lord said to me the other day when I was working on this, he said, the church is good at arriving and leaving. Randy, can you stand up for a moment? I don't have enough time to do this to where it will really prove itself out. But if I ask you to just stick your hand straight up and hold it there, right? Hold it. Don't move it until the sermon's over. No, but seriously, here is a truth. This is just how things are. It's harder for Randy to hold this hand right here. It takes more energy than if he was able to either lower it or lift it. If there's movement, I mean, it's easier for me to do this. Let me move it one way or the other. Ask me to stop and hold ground. It's going to take more time because I'm in between two, and I got to keep it steady. Thank you, brother. Over time, it would prove out. Okay? Sister Jane, can I share something? God brings things to me. God brings things to me as I'm sharing, and I don't know he's going to bring them. So hold on for one moment. You know, Brother Edgar had fallen and was at the hospital. Pastor Rob and I went to visit him at the hospital. The doctor asked something. He was asking all these questions. I'm like, what is he trying to get at? He's asking all these questions. Did he fall before he went? Did he do this? And all, without getting into all the details, he asked this one question. He said, is he unsteady when he's not touching anything? I said, yeah. So are you saying that if he was to touch out and do this, that he seems to get steady? Didn't he ask that? And I heard that, and it just stuck in my head again, because there was a reference with touching something solid that you could lean up against. You know, God says he doesn't want us to be hot. I mean, he'd rather us be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. He doesn't want you in the middle. In the middle, it's too hard to determine what the heck is going on. It takes more effort to counsel, to pastor someone who's in the middle. It's easier to know where you're at. If you're, okay, I can clearly say I know where they're at. They're way over here. This one here is burning, you know? The one who's in the middle, you don't know if they're on your side one minute or the next. That line is too close. They pull on a knife on you the next minute, and they bring you flowers and loving on you. You don't know. It takes too much effort to maintain and develop a plateau. We as a church, we're excellent at arriving. We don't mind fighting. We'll fight, we'll slay the devil, we'll beat him up, boom, and we get to the level. But problem is that we've said success is a destination instead of a lifestyle. So, if I want to achieve success, whoop, there's my fight. I've arrived. And guess what? Because I haven't learned to maintain and to develop at this level, I will fall back down. I will leave. So God said, son, the church is good at arriving and leaving, but I want you to occupy. I want you to gain ground and maintain that ground and look for more ground. Not give up the ground I've given you. I want to expand the kingdom. So it struck me, because Ivy could have said, our kids are excellent, brilliant, love them, great kids. Sometimes they're hard-headed. Sometimes they think they're smarter than mommy and daddy. Sometimes they, my daughter, oh my gosh, I love her to life, I'll say. But, you know, trying to work through some things with her, and she just will look at you, and because she's fearful of whatever it is you're saying, or maybe she's afraid of being wrong, first thing she's going to do is just lie. So it's like, Jaden, stop. That was a lie. It's the dumbest thing sometimes. It's like, did you brush your teeth and put the toothbrush on the sink? No. Jaden, it's on the sink. Yeah, I meant yes, but I was wondering, you know. So anyway, it would be easy for Ivy to wake up something other than healing. It'd be easy for Ivy to wake up that daggone brat or that daggone girl. She's lying all the time. Why'd you give me these? Sometimes we forget what has caused us to arrive at this place. what once was a pursuit of success, and you achieve it, and now you're like, take it away. It's about perspective. God told me something here, and I told you I'm not going to be long. I've only got maybe a couple more scriptures I want to go through, but I do want to encourage you, thoroughly encourage you. And this here, what I'm about to say, I might have shared it once before, but God gave this to me fresh as far as the language here. He told me expectations are label-driven. I've heard it other ways. He's told me you live out labels or whatever. But he told me when I was writing this, our expectations are label-driven. Okay? Therefore, be careful how you label. Ivy labeled our children as healing. Right? She says she wakes up healing every morning. So when I think about our expectations for a thing being label driven, what I mean by that is this. When I go and get in my car and I go up here, actually I'm going to do it on my way out of here. I'm going to go up to Cool Spot and I'm going to get me some gas. Oh yes, that's right, Go Mart. I'm going to go up there and get me some gas. Now when I put that nozzle in my vehicle, I expect it to fill my car up with gas, right? I'm not going to be surprised when gas comes out. Why? Because I went to a gas station. I know it says it, gas station, right? My expectation is I'm going to receive gas. There's another type of gas you can get sometimes, and Ivy says you can anticipate that one too. You go to White Castles. That's the only time this doesn't work out. No. No. Anyway, I don't know why I threw that in there. That has no spiritual value. But anyway, so check it out. If chocolate came out of that nozzle, yes, it would be cool, but your car wouldn't run very well. But check it out, it's amazing. If chocolate came out of that nozzle, I would have to do something. Because there's a conflict with my label, right? So in my mind, there's some type of a cognitive dissonance. So that's where what's taking place is not agreeing with my belief structure. And I have to address a conflict, right? So chocolate comes out, I'm going in to see the owner or somebody. Somebody's going to fix my car. 5 gallon. Somebody's going to deal with this, right? Gas, if it comes out gas, I'm driving down the road. I'm not talking to nobody because everything came out as I expected it. And you've heard the statement that you only inspect what you expect. Have you ever heard that statement? You will only inspect what you expect. If you expect something, you're looking to see it. At work, if I expect and I tell you I need that report every month on my desk Friday, by the last Friday of every month, I've set that boundary. I have to test against it. I have to check, was it there? And believe it or not, here at our agency, we got other people who check that too, don't we? So you inspect what you expect. When you go to see, does it compute? Does it equal what my expectations are? If it's okay, fine, green. There's no blip at all. I get in the car and I might have forgot that I put gas in, unless I look at the needle. But if chocolate was there, we are having much more of an issue. So here's what I want us to notice. And probably Sister Mary or anybody who's been trained in the counseling probably could teach this. We are unique beings. Whatever we set in our minds as normal, or we anticipate that we're going to, let's say you put a label on it. You've built yourself up to expect that thing. All right? So just by Ivy calling our children healing, even if she didn't say it out loud to them, what she will receive and process will be things that align with what she said. They might be acting the same way. You could do this with your boss, actually. There's some people, if I listen to the group and they're cussing my boss and I get into it, everything my boss does is bad. Did you see the way she went to the bathroom? She walked this way instead of this way. It's stupid. You can always find something. But the minute you cut those voices and say, I'm not going to hear that. I'm going to, that person's in this position because there is something there. She hasn't gotten this far because she's nothing. There is something there, and God wants me to get something while I'm here. And so if I do that and I adjust myself, I'm changing the label. So I start to inspect what I expect. And if I start saying, she is blessed, she is a woman of God, she's a just boss, I'm going to start finding those things that align with that. Amen? So what does that have to do with us occupying? The issue is that when we arrive, we're good at arriving, but we're not good at sustaining and maintaining and progressing the land we are in. Why? Because we get comfortable. Now the thing we pursued and we thought she couldn't, there could be nobody better. My goodness. When I was after Ivy, and don't get me wrong, she is fine. She is so fine. But when I was pursuing Ivy, I'm serious. There was a time I had to, when I prayed and closed my eyes, I only wanted to see Jesus. But there was a time I was so in love with that girl, and still am, but I don't have that flowery, she's in my eye every single second. I would close my eyes to pray. I'd see God, and I'd see Ivy over here on the side. Oh, she's so cute. Then we got married, and I started learning more about her. She's great. I love her. And darn it, why does she put the roll, the toilet roll, the tissue roll, why doesn't she do it over? She does it under. And when we moved in together, not moved in, we were married. Let me fix that. We were married. And when we moved in, I'm serious, our first week, we were putting cups into the cupboard. And in her family, they put them down so that the part you drink is touching the surface. And I put them up because I didn't want anything touching my mouth, right? I started noticing we had these differences. I still love her. She is great. But I also realized, okay, shoot, if we got in a disagreement, I couldn't leave and go to my dorm. We were in the same house. So over time, the enemy comes in and says, aren't you tired of that yet? You already arrived. You're successful. You got her. Well, I actually need to lose some weight because I was trim when I got that one. I was down a good bit. Some of those things we maintain because we're still in pursuit. You know, you don't come in with the, you don't go out to dinner. You know, you still keep opening the door for her, you know. Those things that you do, or you go out to dinner, you're not wearing sweats. Sometimes. But it depends on what type of dinner it is. But if we did things the way we did when we were in pursuit, it'd be easier to maintain. Amen? But we're good at arriving and leaving. And God doesn't want us to just arrive. He wants us to continue to develop. So I need to continue to drive, and the things that God brought to me, I need to do everything I can to maintain them and to develop them. That means I have to give him time and invest my time in it. Amen? And give some focus. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm almost there. So check it out. Here in Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. We know this scripture. We've heard it over and over and over and over. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about looking, or walk about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are to be sober, to be vigilant, and aware that we have an adversary. Now, does the devil, I mean, wouldn't you say the devil's hard-headed? He's hard-headed. Can you beat the devil one time and be done? Right. So, as you've conquered ground, you've taken over territory, you might have stomped that devil, but you're going to new levels. So you, again, must continue to work out, to be vigilant, to be very alert and mindful of what's going on. What are the potential? There's areas that I catch early. I've had to learn to catch early so that I don't find myself compromised. At work, working with someone of the opposite sex, you're on a big project, you're working together. She says, oh, I like how you did that. That was so great. Otis, oh, I want to learn all I can from you. It's just really great the way you do that. And I'm like, wow, I feel really appreciated here. You go home. Now, this isn't my home. Well, actually, it could be. Take out the trash. No. There's things I'm supposed to do. But the point is, this happens in all families, in all relationships. I have to identify the difference. I can say, man, at work they treat me like this. I'm a king. At home, kids take my phone. I get it back. The battery's all run out of it. No darn respect. Told them to pick up their mess. It's all over the place. Start to feel trapped. I don't feel trapped. Let me be clear. I'm telling you of situations and how it can come up. So here's how I have to guard myself. I identify when I start feeling that way, when I feel like, oh, that's, oh, she said, oh, I'm working close. Hey, you want to go and do, no, I better check that. I'm one that will communicate. I'll go home and say, Daddy needs this. I go in the door, Jayden runs and give me a big hug. Seth doesn't. I need a hug from you too, boy. Daddy needs a hug. I've been beat up today. I can get to a point where I start to look at things negatively, and now I wake up in the morning, it's like, I gotta go to that job. Forget all the people who are going to Job and Family Services trying to collect the check because they don't have a job, and I'm complaining. That same job that God gave me and blessed me with, you know? Or what about the healing? God gave you a healing. Whatever it is he healed you of. The doctor says, no, it's coming back. And you go and get that cancer label. It's back. Listen, you expect based on labels. When Ivy starts getting sick, I tell the kids, we're not going to approach mommy. I start getting napkins out for her, Kleenexes, and I push it over to her on a stick. I put it, stay away from mommy, kids. I know you don't see it yet, but she's about to start snotting and everything else. Excuse me. Why? Because we expect her to be sick. She's starting to be sick. All the signs are there. And we start calling her. There's some people who call themselves. They'll say, my cancer didn't do that. I don't know if you've ever listened to a group of people talk. And I'm not coming down on these people, but I am saying that sometimes it sneaks in. And the enemy does, you don't know it, but you're actually claiming things. You've got a deed on that thing. And when you're sharing, it's like, well, what was your cancer like? Well, my cancer was this. Or my illness was this. And what we don't realize is we're owning it. Now, I'm not saying be stupid, but be in denial. Do the steps you have to do. But while you're doing those steps, know that we do still serve a mighty God who can heal you of that thing. Amen? I see it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, my God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, I'm still not doing that crazy mess. Right? So I'm not telling you that it's all gravy and all. I'm not one of those that say you're sick because you don't have enough faith. I'm not. That's not me. I do believe faith has a lot to do, but I do believe in the sovereignty of God. So I don't want you to ever misunderstand that. I would never say you're sick because you don't have enough faith. I just say leave that window open because God can heal you. If he does not, he's going to use that, allow you, people watching you walk through that and deal with things the way you do to show how victorious you can be in him. Because really, our reward is eternal. Amen? Now, as we're talking about expectations, I'm going to have a date with my daughter even today. We drove separately because Jaden and I are taking off to Parkersburg, and I've been promising her a daddy-daughter date. The other day, we were in Toys R Us, and they get a certain allowance, and they have to build it up based on them being obedient and doing the chores they're supposed to do. And Jaden was short about $4 or something like that, right? So we asked the people to put her toy back. And Jaden, Ivy said, Jaden, Daddy's going to bring you here on Sunday because you'll have enough money by then. Daddy's going to bring you back here, and you can buy your toy. And she said, well, no, that's our date. And Daddy's supposed to pay if it's our date. I was like, whoa. I was very happy on some level because I want her to know when a man asks you out, he better pay for your date. She had the right expectations, and I was pleased. But she kind of perverted it a little bit and No, that's your toy you're buying. So the expectations, you got to set those things early. You got to set those things early. Amen? And so I believe God wants us to, when we wake up, look in the mirror and say the good thing. Look in the mirror and say the good thing. I am a conqueror. I am the head, not the tail. Amen? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, whatever you got to claim, because what's going to happen is when you produce, and I know you've heard me say this before, this is close to the type of message. Any message I share, I can't get too far away from some of these terminologies that I'm using here. But when you do that, you will produce at the level of what you believe. So when there's a conflict, when I wake up and I say I'm a winner, and I go out and do something that's so absolutely silly and it's seen as a failure, I now have to address that thing because I'm inspecting for what I expect, right? It doesn't look like what I just called myself. I said I'm a winner. And what is that? Winners don't produce failure, right? So I've got to say, oh, that is the exception, not the rule. It allowed me to walk over my failure and gain more speed and say, what did I do wrong? I got to ask some questions about that because I'm not happy with that. There's a disconnect. There's a cognitive dissonance there, and that doesn't look anything like what I know I am. So I have to deal with the conflict. It's like chocolate coming out when I was pumping gas. That failure is not of me. Who put failure in here? That's how I need to be behaving, because I expect to win every time. Now, I'm talking about win the battle. Yes, we have failures, but I'm not going to own those things. I'm not going to let it be a label. I'm almost done. I'm going to tell you one thing, and this has been something that's been serious in me. What I'm preaching to you is something that's been in me a long time. Back when I was working with Rob, Pastor Rob, and Sister Tammy, and at that time he wasn't Rob to me, but he wasn't pastor. We were going to another church together, but I was working with them, and there was a young boy that we, there's no children in here, right? Okay. There was a young boy that we were working with at this group home. And one night, he had a lapse in his mind. I don't know what he was thinking, but he did something that could be seen as a homosexual type of engagement. Everybody else, when we were talking about this situation, everybody wanted to say immediately, he's a homosexual, he's a homosexual, he's a homosexual. Everybody's running. I said, please stop saying that. He did something. Stop labeling it. It might not be reoccurring, but I can guarantee you this, if you put that label on that boy, he's going to produce after it. Amen? So if you tell me in my family, son, it's okay. We never accomplish those type of things. You're a Cochran. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But the truth is, many of us can let down and say, well, great. I don't have to have a PhD. I don't have to have a master's. I don't have to leave town and go to another place. I don't have to have $1 million. I don't have to open my business that God's telling me to do. It will allow you to sidestep what God's saying, because you're going to try to run it through a filter and say, does that match my label? You got to be careful how you label things, because all you will be doing is arriving and leaving. And God wants us to occupy. He wants us to take over. Amen. And in order to do that, you got to label things the way God says, and you got to wake up every morning and reaffirm that thing. I am a winner. My children are my healing. That's how they came into our lives. That's what they were for. That's a portion of what they were for. We'll let them be some other things too. Amen? All right. Well, I hope you got something out of this. I am done.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.